This is Voices of Lancashire, a podcast about migrants who live in Lancashire and made their home here. I am your host, Lara Mumesso. I live in Lancashire and I am an Italian migrant myself. Voices of Lancashire is born out of my personal experience, which I am sure is shared by many other immigrants. How many times have people asked us the question, "Where are you from?" And how many times have the same people made assumptions about who we are and what we do here, precisely because of our nationality? Assumptions that do not necessarily correspond to our life stories. Out of this experience, I decided to create Voices of Lancashire, a space where migrants who live in Lancashire talk about their life stories, why and how they moved to Lancashire, their impressions of this part of the world, their ambitions and their everyday life experiences in a place that has become their permanent or temporary home. For this first series, Voices of Lancashire will consist of 12 episodes published fortnightly, each with an immigrant living in one of Lancashire County districts. If you are an immigrant interested to know more about the experiences of other fellow immigrants, or a local interested to know more about the life experiences of your new neighbors, this podcast is definitely for you. Follow me. So, hi everyone. Today's episode is with Gosia, a Polish artist who lives in Clitheroe, a small town in the Ribble Valley borough. On the 21st of February, a few days ago, Gosia celebrated her 20th anniversary since her first arrival in the UK. She arrived in the UK with her British partner, whom she met while traveling in Spain, and their son. Many things happened since she arrived here, and today's chat will open a window into Gosia's 20 years in Lancashire. So, Gosia, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hiya. Hiya, Lara. Thank you very much for inviting me to your podcast.
So, Gosia, the first question I would like to ask you is, how did you end up in Clitheroe 20 years ago?
Okay, so I was still a student when I set off on a journey of my life that changed my life. So maybe I'll start how I was a student. I was a student at Academy of Fine Arts in Wrocław, Poland. And then whilst being a student, I watched this movie by Wim Wenders called Lisbon Story. And that movie completely blew my mind. It just ignited my imagination, and I had this huge desire to go to Lisbon. So as a student, I set off on this journey together with two girlfriends. We've decided to hitchhike from Poland to Spain. And it was a journey full of adventure. We were aiming for Lisbon, that's where I wanted to go. However, we got stuck in Lloret de Mar in Spain, so quite a way away from the destination, or my dream destination. My friend went back to Poland, but I got stuck there for 3 more years. I met an Englishman. That's why I stayed, even though I wanted to meet a Portuguese man. That was my dream. Well, I fell in love and we got a child. My son was born in Spain. After he was born, a year after, we've decided that life was a little bit too hard and we decided to move to Britain. Well, he decided to take me to and my son to Britain. And that's how I ended up here. And I was so lucky to arrive to beautiful Clitheroe in Lancashire, where I live for the past 20 years. And I feel lucky because this place is really incredible. When first thing I discovered was the park and the castle, and I met amazing people in this town. And yes, and made my life here in Clitheroe.
That's actually very interesting. And I think it would be nice to know a bit more about Clitheroe, first of all. Maybe how is it as a town? Because it's not a big city, right? How is it from the perspective of someone who might just migrated here? How does it look like? How is it to live there? And also, sometimes we think about, we change our perspectives about the places in which we live. And it would be nice to know, what was your first impression of Clitheroe when you just arrived?
So the first impression, well, as town, the town really was very cute. However, living in Spain for the past 3 years in the sunshine, my first impression of Britain overall, well, I'm sorry to say, I was a little bit disappointed. It's because of the weather. We've arrived in February, like you said, 25th of February. I've celebrated 20 years living in this town. What shocked me were the differences in the standard of living. I understand Britain is an island, and as an island, it always looks different. I remember from geography lessons, I was learning that islanders usually have different customs and different, maybe they have different fashion because they are separated from the rest of the land. So all the novelties and innovation might not come to those places as quickly. So anyway, I perceived Britain as, you know, coming from Eastern Europe, still remembered times of solidarity and communism. And I arrived to the country which I perceived as one of the richest countries in Europe. And it was very different than I imagined. But I don't want to be negative because it is different in its own beauty. It's got its own beauty and cuteness. So, of course, the old houses, the dry stone walls, the evergreen fields, that was just so amazing. And I felt like history and books just stood alive in front of my eyes. That was the difference. As if the history, as the time never moved here. So if I say about cultural differences, accommodation-wise, what was shocking for me was the British really like their carpets. I was quite surprised to see carpets in the bathroom or the kitchen, for example. But, oh well, like I said, it's got its own beauty.
That's very interesting that you mentioned the carpets, because this is, I think, amongst immigrants, in particular those coming from warmer countries or from Southern Europe, but I think all over Europe, most probably, carpet is a topic, and especially where the carpet is in the house, as you mentioned, in the bathroom or in the kitchen. When you say about standard of living, is it about houses or is it also anything else about everyday life?
I have to say that everyday life seemed so much chilled, especially here in Clitheroe. And everybody was so incredibly nice. And what struck me was that everybody was smiling on the street. People didn't know me and they were smiling and they were saying hello, and they were really extremely nice, which I have to say was the main difference between the Polish and the British. We Polish, we didn't really smile that much, maybe because the history made us so sad and grim and we were like kind of closed up. But everybody here was open and really, really friendly. And I said that the first thing I discovered was the park. And because my child was little, so the park was my first landmark, actually. And in the park, I managed to meet the other mothers. And they became my family, after all, and really helped me a lot.
You mentioned also something very interesting, that having a toddler now, I'm not sure, maybe 20 years ago, but I think it was very similar to now. I've been attending many playgroups, something that I've never seen in Italy. I never heard about from my friends talking about, yeah, there is this or that playgroup. And I think this is something, I don't know Poland, but I think it's very something specific of British, at least of this part of the world where I am. I don't know if it is because I have a child and before I didn't have a child and I didn't notice these kind of things.
Yeah, the same. Well, I was going to say that all those ladies told me about all these mother and toddler groups and play groups. And yes, it was amazing. And it was great stuff to do with the child, especially if the weather wasn't favorable. So yes, and well, I cannot say how is it like in Poland, because the same, I didn't have child in Poland. I was a child, but as a child, I don't remember having so many wonderful groups to attend with the child. So yes, we were rather playing on the street, in the parks, rather than in the toddler groups.
Same in Italy. Although I was precisely talking about this with another mom today, it might be also a matter of different time. It's about when I was much younger, it's already a few decades. So maybe society has changed in Italy too. And definitely there are much less children on the street, at least where I live, than when I was younger. So I also expect societies to have changed. So the picture I give of Italy might not be so precise. Anyways, thank you, Gosha, for this introduction about Clitheroe, your life in Clitheroe, your arrival in the UK. Would you like to bring us instead to where you come from and tell us a little bit about your town in Poland? What kind of town is it? But also, what was your life there? What were your dreams when you were so young before leaving?
Okay, so I was always interested in art and people since a very little child. I was telling everyone that when I grow up, I'm going to be a famous artist. So I grew up in a little town called Świebodzice, which is very similar to Clitheroe. Świebodzice is placed in a southwest part of Poland, and it's kind of in the mountains. And it has also a castle, just like in Clitheroe. Actually, the castle is much bigger than the one in Clitheroe, because the castle in Świebodzice, called Castle Książ, is the second largest castle in Europe. So from extreme to extreme, as the keep in Clitheroe is the second smallest keep in Britain. So very, very similar. Clitheroe is surrounded by hills, by Kendal Hill and Beacon Fell, Longridge Fell, and all those different hills. We have mountains surrounding Clitheroe, Świebodzice. See, I even called Świebodzice Clitheroe, because in my mind, these towns are so similar. And maybe because living here for the past 20 years and basically, all my adult life is in Clitheroe. This town shaped my adulthood, because my child was born in Spain, but he was only a year old when we arrived to Clitheroe. So his whole life we spent in Clitheroe. So in my mind, I keep mixing these two towns. And whenever I see Pendle Hill coming back from holidays, then I feel, oh, I'm at home. I can see I'm at home. And the same when I see the castle, and it makes me feel so happy that I'm back home. So coming back to Świebodzice, town in Poland where I grew up, it was a really lovely, cute town. And I've decided to pursue my career in art. And I went off to study art at Academy of Fine Art in a city called Wrocław, which is nearby. I spent about 8 years in Wrocław. That was a long time. And then still being a student in my final year, I told you at the beginning, I had this dream about Lisbon and this huge desire to visit Lisbon. My destiny shaped my life, and that changed my life together with life spent in Spain. That would be 23 years ago. So half of my life, I live now in Britain. And to be honest, after such a long time, I sometimes go back home and I don't understand the context of the jokes, and I don't really know what's happening, as I don't really watch much TV news. When arriving to Britain, just for the sake of my son, I made it a priority to speak English. I wanted to assimilate with this culture and with its citizens. We never played Polish TV. I just wanted to, become British. And I did become British. Now it will be 14 years since I am also British as well as Polish.
Do you think you assimilated?
Oh, yes, very much so. Like I said, whenever I go back to Poland, I don't understand the context of their jokes. And sometimes they don't understand mine because I've acquired this way of living, the British way of living, and maybe even got a little bit of my English humor.
How does it make you feel? I mean, is it a positive feeling, or this idea of being assimilated and going back and don't really recognize jokes or some aspects of the culture? Or does it make you feel guilty?
Yes, it makes me feel really torn. In some ways, I really long for my country. I miss my country. I miss the countryside, the beautiful, the fantastic weather that in Poland. There is a misconception that Poland is a cold country. I remember the first someone asked me, so in Poland, do you have polar bears running on the street? Which I found really funny. Of course we don't. And Poland is a really hot country in the summer. Could be very cold and snowy in winter. That just because it's such an intercontinental climate, very dry, and it's very rarely raining. But in the summer, the weather is really, really good. Whilst here, we've got maybe 2 weeks of summer and it's raining all the time, pretty much.
Yes, indeed.
So if you said about this feeling, I feel torn. I'm thinking, maybe when I'm older, when my child is older, maybe I'll go back to Poland. But then what I'm thinking, I would miss what I've got here. I would miss my friends and I would miss my life over here. So there's that feeling of being divided because I love people. I love my family in Poland. But maybe it's the family that's the only thing that would want me to go back there.
Sometimes it's a feeling of being divided, most probably positive ways, a feeling of being in between. So being able to englobe both culture, societies, and so on and so forth. And I guess we also change. Sometimes we are more positive. Sometimes you might be more negative about these feelings, right? Because I guess they're very contradictory as well.
Yeah, and so you understand this feeling.
Oh, yeah. It's a constant struggle.
Yes. Exactly.
Again, here I think it's personal and also sometimes a matter of policies, broader policies. I don't feel assimilated at all. I have phases, but the more I stay away from my country, sometimes the more I want to reinforce some aspect of my Italian, not necessarily culture, but the fact that I come from there, that's what I am. It's very, I think, more psychological than anything else. And is indeed how I feel towards my family. Sometimes it's a sense of guilt because I am far away. Sometimes I think it's okay like this because it's a matter also of life choices. So it's a very complex relationship. Gosha, there's another thing I'm curious I would like to ask you, and it's about your family. So you left hitchhiking and just to have a holiday, if I understand correctly, but you never went back, more or less. So I would like to know what was your family view with regard to you living in Poland for love, for family?
I remember my grandma, who passed away sadly, but she said, oh, Gosia, I have a feeling I will never see you again. And it makes me cry now, actually. But she was right because she passed away whilst I was in Spain and I never saw her again. However, yeah, I do go back to Poland quite often, once a year, that's for sure, for Christmas. And what my family thought, well, they wanted me to be happy. And I did go back for only a few months because as I left, pretty much, like you said, I went on holiday. I never come back pretty much. But I come back when my son was a year and a half. I went back to finish my degree at uni. I only had one last year to finish my degree. And pretty much there were a few months left just to do my dissertation. And so I came back for this intensive 10 months. But I already had ticket booked back and the date when my dissertation was taking place and day after my final exhibition, in that case it was the day after, I already was flying back to England. It was hard for them, but now thinking, my son turned 21 on Wednesday, last Wednesday, and I'm thinking, yes, I would like him to be happy wherever he goes. It will be sad if he leaves me, of course, because that's the only life I know so far, being with him. But it's just natural, I think, progression.
That's a very interesting perspective, because I think, I don't know many, but definitely myself, sometimes I feel guilty that my family, I didn't leave my family behind, but they are far away. I'm not always there. But I do think, I think a lot in terms as a daughter. And you brought in the perspective of the parent. And maybe for them, as you said, the most important thing is also to see that we are happy. So I never think about this. So it's a good point.
I understand that you may feel as a young mother, you know, that moment when they leave seems like very far in the future and you cannot believe, you cannot imagine your life without them, without your child. I couldn't imagine my life without my child, but I know it's going to happen. And of course, they have to move on. So yeah, that's how it is. Progression of life, natural.
You had two main dreams, if I understand correctly. One was to find a Portuguese man. This kind of changed a little bit, but eventually brought you to the UK. And the other one was to become an artist. And I think you made it, am I right?
Well, to continue be an artist, and some, this is something that's me. I'm always an artist. I was born an artist, and I wanted to, yeah, just continue being an artist. It was hard at the beginning because I came here with an Englishman, but however, he left very soon after he brought us, and I became a single mom. So it was very hard to be an artist and a single mom. However, I was constantly pursuing my passion, and I was constantly painting, usually at night when my son was in bed. So I was then able to paint, and sometimes it took me till morning, my painting passion and all the creative pursuit. So I had a very little sleep usually. However, I managed to teach my son to sleep late, and I think that was great. I also slept during the day with him. I was always pursuing my creative endeavor. And I think people also knew me from this aspect. So as an artist, I also have this particular condition called synesthesia. Synesthesia means that my senses blend together so I can touch, I can smell sounds, I see words in color. And the colors are so important. I can see them everywhere at any time. And constantly in my mind, I just translate everything I see into color.
Can you give an example for us who don't operate in this way? I found this condition very interesting, very hard to understand as well.
So I see every letter has its own unique hue, and words are a combination of these colors. So the first letter gives the rest of the word a color scheme. A, for example, is very bright, like orangey red. E is blue, and it is quite translucent, just like the sky on the sunny day. O, so these are vowels. O shines, and vowels are always bright and they shine and they are spreading light on the other letters. But like I said, the first letter gives the rest of the word a color scheme. Your name, Lara, starts with letter L. So L is very ochre yellow. But then you've got letter A behind L, and that A shines red. So it gives that red hint to the whole of your name. However, the first letter, ochre yellow, determines the whole color of your name. So you are very ochre yellow with a hint of red.
Wow, some of my favorite colors, by the way. I like colors in general and very vivid colors. And actually, I don't know if you saw at the beginning, my office on the background is actually yellow. Not ochre, it's a very bright yellow, but it's one of my favorite colors.
Okay, there we go. Maybe there is something in it. Yes. When I listen to music, I can see it in this kind of pattern of lines, beautifully filling the space with beautiful pattern. So that's with the music. And sometimes smells, they always invoked some kind of sensory experience, colorful sensory experience. And sometimes music makes me feel some taste. I taste like some music makes me feel chocolate or coffee. But also when I look at colors, I hear music. And when I'm painting, I want to evoke this experience. I want to view it, to also be able to feel the whole experience. It's not just visual experience, but it's all senses experience where you look at the painting and you feel the air, or you can hear the music and people talking and birds screeching. You can smell maybe the dust on the street and fresh leaves on the trees. So when I'm painting, I feel it as if it was alive. And that's the experience I would like the viewer to be able to also experience when looking at my art.
I saw a little bit online, and definitely it is very vibrant, it's very real, very vibrant. Yes, that's the right word. And I do feel something more than just colors. But I want to ask you a question about this, because what you described now is mainly positive sensations. I guess that these also work when there are negative sensations or like unsettling or not nice feelings or smells.
Wow, I've never thought about this. Apart from thinking about my kind of like intuitive sensation, like I can feel some kind of energies, something about to happen. That might appear a little bit woo, but I never thought about negative because usually it is all positive, and the positivity of colors have got this energy. That's what I want to, yes, the energy, this positive energy. And I want my paintings to convey just this positive energy and change the energy of the world, change the negativity. We are surrounded by all this gloom and doom that social media and media in general is projecting onto us. And I want my art to just give people this feel good factor.
You feel the world in such an intense way that when, as you were telling, describing it, I was thinking when something is positive, is nice, it's really a very embracing and a nice feeling. I was wondering when something is not nice, then those sensations must be overwhelming and hard to deal with. So when you do your artwork, you already told us a little bit is the message you want to give, the feelings you want to transmit are positive, right? So where do you get inspiration for the art you do? But also, when and where do you paint?
So at the moment, I have a studio in Accrington at Howard Art Gallery, at the beautiful stable house at Howard Art Gallery. That's my happy place, where I can go and lock myself from the world and from the whole negativity or all the problems, and just immerse myself in my beautiful world of colors. And the inspiration comes from every day, from looking at the world, from walks around Clitheroe and Ribble Valley. I always notice something on the in trees, in fields, a pattern on the field, or a reflection in the puddle of water, The moon is also quite magical for me, and it draws my attention so vividly. I also love city scenes, which are full of people walking. And I see always that, you know, I see the story in those places, because you always wonder, where are they going to? What are they up to? What are they thinking? And so this is my inspiration from life, from my everyday surrounding and busy cities and beautiful countryside.
And is there also anything from your Polish part, either culture or the places where you come from, that is expressed through your artwork?
Maybe not, because I have not been in that country for so long. And like we said at the beginning, I've quite assimilated with this country. So not that I've lost my Polishness, maybe my education. That's the only thing that I incorporate in my art, which comes from Poland. Education, I studied at Art Academy in Wrocław under a fantastic professor, Professor Hałas, he was called, who was a huge colorist. His work and his teaching was really influential on my art. So that's the only thing I might have brought from Poland. I think it's all that synesthesia that mainly influenced my art rather than my culture.
What does art mean to you? You said I was born an artist. What does it mean to be born as an artist?
It means everything. Art is my life, my food, my air, my love. I think sometimes I feel guilty about this, but I think this is my first love, the greatest love. But yes, art is just such a huge part of me. It is me. That's who I am. And there is nobody else. It's just me, Gosia, the artist.
And Gosia, what is... Since it's so much part of your life, but it's also a mission. When I talk to you, I think that this emerged quite clearly. So what do you think is your responsibility as an artist?
Okay, it is my mission. And it is a huge mission of my life. And I believe that I was brought to this world for that reason, to fill this world with colors and its positive energy. And in this way, change this world, change and influence people and spread that love that I feel when I'm creating. And this is my mission, to fill this world with color and change its energy, change this negativity to positive vibes.
Have you ever received a hint that you were doing this? You are doing this. Did anyone tell you something that makes you feel like, okay, it's working the way I would like to?
I think everything falls into place when you are on your mission. So yes, and I can hear it from the response of people who are receiving my art. When I hear these amazing comments, and when I'm painting something for people and they express their joy, then I feel complete. My mission is complete. Otherwise, like I said, when you're on the right path, then everything falls into place. And I was trying to do different things in life. Well, I was a teacher at secondary schools. I trained here in Britain. It was good for some time when my child was little. That was working then, but I could never find a permanent position at schools. It was quite challenging. Especially with my personality, very open-hearted. It was good for some time, but then suddenly started making me feel really ill. And I've decided that it is not the right path. And also I struggled to get jobs. So I was just doing supply, and being supply teacher, it's even harder than being a teacher. For the past few years, basically since pandemic, I think pandemic was the time for all of us when we could reset and finally decide to do things that we want to do. And it was the same for me. The pandemic was the time when I finally got up the courage to just focus and pursue my art and my passion. And I do it ever since. It was challenging. It is challenging, of course, but it's getting better and better. And well, it's really getting wonderful lately. And I feel now this is my time. I'm finally on the right path. And I feel so in agreement with myself. I feel finally fulfilled.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think it's very important what you just said, especially when you are younger, you're not sure what you want to be. And you struggle in two ways. One is because you want to know what you want to be. And the other, because it depends also, the world doesn't necessarily allow you to become what you really want to be. So you have to adapt to what is outside. And your experience really demonstrates this. You were, as you said, you were born artist, but you had to adapt to the situation. You were a teacher, you did other things to survive.
Especially when my child was little and I was a single mom. So that was working at that time, but then suddenly it stopped working and it was a big struggle. And finally, my son is grown up. It's the right time and I can finally do what I'm here to do.
You know, when we look at people who succeed, whatever is the way we define success, we don't look at the process that brought them there. And instead, you were talking precisely about this, how much perseverance, how much you had to struggle. And also you mentioned about courage. At some point, we need to push our boundaries and see if it works. We have an ambition. We, in order to become fulfilled, we need to pursue, we need to fight for it, right? Obviously, we also need to be lucky and have the right condition at certain moments of our life. But all these elements are brought together in what is eventually success, right?
That's right. All those conditions are finally right to do what you need to do. And of course, it's not easy, but if you love doing what you do, and if you feel like you're on the right path, then you do it in spite of struggle. Yeah.
And just, I want to correct myself because I don't like the word success. You used a better word, fulfillment. And I think that's much more important than success. That's, I think, a lesson for those people who are not there yet. And sometimes you suffer because you're not there yet. But yeah, life is a process, right?
It is a process. And we also need to go through the struggle in order to learn and grow. If everything was easy, then it wouldn't have had any meaning, possibly. Maybe you're right to say, to use the word success, because success is when finally, after the struggle, we achieve something. Yeah, but also it is a fulfillment, fulfilling life.
So, gosh, another question before going to the last couple. You have accessed British society from different spheres and identities, like a teacher, an artist, a mother, a partner, a woman, a single mom, and so on and so forth. Can you tell us what you have learned about British society and culture through some of these experiences and identities? Most probably a couple of lessons that either you didn't expect or that are particularly important in your life.
Okay, so what I would like to say about British, that they are really law-abiding. They are really trusting in the government, in what is said to them, the rules that they are being told they would follow. I come from a culture where we lived under communism. So for us, the rules were always to bind because they were... we knew that they were silly or didn't make sense, or they were for us to control us. And that's why we've developed this kind of defiance. This is what I found different about British. They are proper. They always follow their rules and they are really law abiding to the point that sometimes it seems ridiculous. I remember at the beginning, the church was where my community was. And in the church, there was an outbreak of bird flu. And the priest said to everyone, let's do not give each other hands when we are sending each other the sign of peace, because just to be safe. And I thought it was just such a ridiculous thing. And everybody was just following blindly, sometimes silly rules. But on the other hand, I feel like because they follow these rules, there is an order in this country. I really like the way people drive. I think it was mentioned on this podcast before. And I do agree. When I go back to Poland, and it makes me so nervous to drive on Polish roads, because everybody's driving up to you close, trying to overtake you. Whereas here, everybody just follows the queue. And I love it. It's just such a pleasure to drive. On the other hand, the roads are very narrow in some places here, especially country lanes here in Lancashire. What I like about this country is this order and these rules, which make this country at peace.
Yeah, you have to struggle less.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes life simpler and less stressful. Yeah.
Also simply queuing, which is one of those stereotypes about Britishness, but it's true, it's easier. If I arrive at a certain point, I have five people in front of me, I don't have to fight in 10 behind. I don't have to fight for my position. I'm simply there and everyone respects where they are. Whereas in other countries, you push, you cut, and it's constantly a fight. I agree with that, yes. So I think that now I can move to the last two questions that are the same for most people I've interviewed. First of all, do you feel you belong to this country?
Yes, I belong to this country. This is my home. Whenever someone asks me, where am I from? As they would if they first meet me, because of my accent, they would always ask, where are you from? Which at the beginning, it was an annoying question because it was making me feel very insecure. But I understand. Well, here in Clitheroe, many people do know me, so they don't ask me where am I from. But whenever they ask me, then I would say, I'm from Clitheroe. And I have to say, I am a Paul Lanx, Polish Lancashire lass. I do belong here. This is my home. I said that at the beginning, whenever I see Pendle Hill and the castle coming back from holidays, I am happy to go back home. Here is my heart.
It's a very nice image. I need to tell you, because actually today I was asked this question and it's not the first time. I've been asked less, where are you from? Now I hear much more the question, where does this accent come from?
Okay, no, that's better.
I wouldn't mind if they ask me, where are you from? As I told you, I still feel very much part Italian and part of Italy, but I feel my Italian roots are very strong and they get stronger and stronger. But beside that, I find this question very interesting and I think it reflects all Britishness in the way it is asked.
And I think it is natural human curiosity. Whenever I hear accents, I'm also interested, but I would never ask because I know how does it make you feel. Like I said, it was making me feel really insecure, these questions, where am I from? Because that means that they know I'm a stranger, but I am not a stranger. I'm from here. I'm from Clitheroe. I'm not a stranger.
Do you think you will return back to your hometown, the Polish one, one day?
Well, I don't know. I would like to. I would like to have two homes, one in Poland and one in Britain, here in Clitheroe possibly, and be able to spend some time in Poland, especially summer, and then some time in Britain, in Clitheroe. That would be the best solution. Because otherwise, I don't know if I can leave this behind. I've been here so long and yeah, and this is my home. Once again, I say that this is my home and this is where I belong. But I would like to be able to spend some time in Poland and maybe just to warm up my bones in the summer. That's for that reason, mostly for that reason.
So, Gosia, I think that with this point, today's interview will come to an end. Thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing with us your story as an artist in Lancashire, but also all these interesting points about how you feel towards Clitheroe, I would say, and how your identity has changed in line with your life experiences. And to our audience, see you at the next episode. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Gosha.